Most days, I wake up, I love God, I love life, and that motivates me to get out of bed and be about living faithfully. But some days, I confess, it is not love that motivates me. It is hatred. I hate the kind of evil that makes that man in Las Vegas kill and maim. I hate that kind of power in the world that thrives on the suffering it causes. I hate the satanic evil that loves to see children afraid and in pain. In the prayer book, rite of baptism, three times we are called to renounce Satan and the evil powers of this world. But Jesus goes farther than that, further than renunciation of evil, and would lead us further, I believe, in this season of reflection on our personal relations with God and our money. This is what the pledge drive time affords us, an opportunity to commune with God about what really matters to us, what we love and what we hate. When we're asked to make decisions about our money, life makes us pay attention. There's a story associated with Jack Benny that sheds light on this with some measure of humor. In the skit, Jack finds himself being mugged. And the armed robber says, with a gun poking into Jack's back, "Your money or your life?" Jack's silent, which prompts the robber to poke him harder and shout louder, "Your money or your life?" Jack says, "I'm thinking it over." As do we think over Jesus as he puts a lens on possessions and money and the work one does to keep the wolf from the door, if you will. Jack Benny makes the case humorously, life and money are related as are faith and works. One of the challenges I experience as a priest is how intangible the work I do seems much of the time. I preach, I teach, I listen, I counsel. I collaborate, I pray, and I'm a little envious of the guys who put a roof on my house last week. You know, at the beginning of the day, they see the task before them, they take off the old one, they put on the new one, and at the end of the day, they stand and they look at the proof of their efforts. It is not unique to ordained ministry to yearn for evidence, to see the fruits of our works of faith, that the kingdom of God is coming among us and in us. So against the backdrop of this time of pledging decisions, yours and mine, I share again what stewardship means to me in my life of things tangible and intangible. We have wonderful seasons in our Episcopal tradition. You know them, Advent, Epiphany, and onward. But for me, this pledging season is unique. It is the time of the year when Father Allen takes off the robe and the stole and is just Allen. and deals with the questions that we deal with today. Stewardship. To be a steward is to care for things, beginning with oneself and that which we are connected to, our neighbors, and this fragile earth, our island home. The parable we have in the gospel this morning is about stewardship. It's about stewards and assessing whether or not they produce the fruits of the kingdom. It's the question of our lives in Jesus' hands. But it's earlier in the gospel, according to Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus cuts through any ambiguity about this question with strong language. No one can serve two masters. He says, "For a servant will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." End quote. It is in Jesus' day, a carefully constructed economy, a community system of socio-religious life based on some people being regarded as unclean, unpure, and everyone else relatively pure as long as you're not associated with the unpure, the lepers, the sinners, tax collectors, the sick, the poor. It is a purity code, religiously created, interpreted, and enforced to define normalcy. What is normal? Which brings us to what this sermon is ultimately about. Passion. What Jesus brings to us in his gospel is passion. It's the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ that we read and hear on Palm Sunday. But that has its roots in Jesus' baptism. When that water cascades over his face, his eyes open to become windows for us on the kingdom of heaven. But what Jesus sees through those eyes is a world gone mad. And the religious leaders Jesus finds himself in conflict with are compounding the evil. By doing nothing, they make matters worse. They have a problem. And it is a problem as old as time itself. The problem begins in the Garden of Eden and the lies of Satan that still inform the world and every life ever lived. The lie is that you can serve God and wealth. You can have things both ways, or in the modern vernacular, have it your own way. Jesus hates that lie. It is insanity. It doesn't take into consideration that possessions can possess the possessor. Thus he says, no one can serve two masters, for a servant will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. And so to go all in with God is to find sanity. Jesus asks each of us intimately, is it me or your wealth that you trust in? To say both is to be candid, but it is to render life passionless. Which is it? To go all in with Christ is to find passion in life as he does. And there's peace with yourself and God, because going all in with Christ is the visible evidence that we believe him when he says, do not worry. I've said before, and I find it still very much the case, that stewardship is the door into this passion of our Lord. When I feel incapacitated by a sense of helplessness, when evil seems to hold the world hostage, one tangible thing I relish is I can write a check. In my life, with so much intangible reality, giving is a visible response to evil. When I'm consumed with sadness and hate, all that is evil, along with my service, I send something somewhere to relieve pain and anguish and deal a body blow to the evil that delights in people's suffering. It's money that we can use to build something up. I may not be a roofer, but I can work with you to keep this one intact above us and preserve and further the work that we do here that goes wonderfully beyond these walls into the world. I know to a large extent I am preaching to the choir. I know with me you are working to please God with your lives. I know. But it is in this rare season that we get to be up close and personal with God about where we are in life, about what matters, and whose we are. And we hear that intimate question, Alan, do you serve me or wealth? If today or in the days to come you think about moving further towards serving God with all of yourself, take that risk and find yourself going all in. Let me say something about tithing. Here's the importance of tithing in this context. Tithing is a restraint. When we get it, that it's all God's anyway, everything we have, every breath we take, every moment we have to live this life with all that we enjoy so abundantly, when we get that, the irony of the biblical principle is for us to keep about 90% to maintain our households. The passion of going all in with God has a built-in safeguard known as tithing, 10%. Scripture teaches us, like on the airplane, put on the oxygen mask first and then help others. That's tithing. If you're there, God bless you. A lot of us work at it, towards it. If it is a bit complex to think about calculating a tithe, ask the dean. Ask me, I'll give you my best take. There is help with this essential element of faith, stewardship of ourselves and others. And whether you recalculate this year your pledge of many years or for the first time pledge, prayerfully consider your money and your life before God. It is a way into deeper faith. And here's a promise. When this makes crystal clear spiritual sense and you find yourself willing to go all in with God, there is new freedom to live and a passion for living with less worry. When the question of whose we are is fully resolved deep within us, there's just more energy to live joyfully in every circumstance. So I encourage you today, in the days to come, to act on your hatred of evil, and give and pledge boldly. Use the tithe to preserve yourself, your wherewithal, and then give until it feels good. And in doing so, produce that good fruit in the kingdom, in the name of God with whom we pray. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.